Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
Hey, got a big Thornton and Rivera exchanging punches.
Now, the Instigators, presented by Dent Concussion Center.
Gorgeous Friday. We've got so much to talk about here on the Instigators, live on WGR 550 and MSG. Like I said, so much to get to. I've got Craig Custance coming on at 11:30, talk about the blueprint, Stanley Cup blueprint from The Athletic. He's going to join us. He's been writing about that, wrote about the Sabres, did the Metropolitan, the Atlantic Division. He's moving on to the next division, so we'll talk to him today at 11:30. We're also going to talk about another Athletic article written by John Vogel, just about Jack Eichel and how he's ready to help lead a locker room full of new faces. And we look forward to talking about all of that. But first, gentlemen.
Yes.
First, he's at Marty Biron 43. He's at Craig Reve 52. I'm at beside Craig. You can tweet us about this next conversation. Kelvin Benjamin, Cam Newton. I don't care if it's baseball, soccer, tennis, hockey, football. This is something that needs to be discussed.
It was pretty... Listen, I was driving around, so I was listening to the pregame show on the radio, and they had Shope and Sal, I think Kelso was on, and Bulldog. And then all of a sudden, they stopped talking about whatever they were talking about, and they probably peeked at the field and saw that Benjamin and Cam Newton were at midfield having a conversation. And you know what? We see that in hockey a lot. It has to be at the red line, right? Because in hockey, when you warm up, you have your own respective zones and you can't cross over. In football, the guys are a little bit everywhere. So those type of conversation happen, I think, a lot more in football. You just don't pay attention because there's people everywhere. But I think everybody was focused on seeing what that conversation was going to look like and how that was going to end. Usually in hockey, if there's a conversation, either you're fist fighting one another or you tap each other on the pants or a little stick on the shin pads and say, hey, okay, good game. We'll see you later. This ended in probably the, I don't want to call it controversial, but...
Oh, it's controversial.
In a situation that nobody thought it was going to be. Everybody thought if they talk, it's going to be a handshake. Hey, what's up? No, yeah, I got quoted out of context, blah, 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 and move on. It definitely wasn't that. Like, Kelvin Benjamin stuck to his gun and basically looks to me like he said to Newton, like, hey, I called it the way it is. You know, you're a smart guy. You know you're not throwing the ball to me the way you should be throwing the ball. You're not putting it where you want to
this
put
all
it.
This all has to do with being called out, right? That's what it's all about. Cam Newton probably walked up to him and said, buddy, what are you doing?
Let's break down the tape.
What makes a player call out somebody else like that, though? That's what it is.
Well, okay, maybe his performance.
A player that's not liked.
A player whose performance was questioned in an old team, maybe a guy says, this is why it happened. And, you know, Kelvin Benjamin, I remember the comments basically saying, you know, any other quarterback, I would have had a better year. Give me anybody else other than Cam Newton who's, you know, not accurate or this or whatever. But the point is, forget about all that football stuff. You have Kelvin Benjamin obviously talking to a former teammate on the other side and one other person. I couldn't make out who the person was. Overwalks Cam Newton. Kind of gutless in my mind because he walks over while Benjamin's conversing with other people and having a good conversation. Then he comes in and tries to be all buddy.
I don't call that gutless.
No,
well,
I think
that was a finish.
I call
he
that confident.
You want to call it confident.
I'm going to call it confident.
He waits for him. He's having a conversation. He's obviously enjoying himself. Kelvin Benjamin having a nice conversation with the two other people. Yep.
Overwalks former teammates. Overwalks
a very uncomfortable situation in Cam Newton, in Kelvin Benjamin's scenario. So here you have, it looked like to me, Cam Newton came in and tried to get in on the jokes or whatever and be like, hey, what's going on, buddy? Almost like downplay it. But Calvin Benjamin didn't want any of it. And then you had Cam Newton go for either a high five and then a handshake. And Calvin Benjamin just kind of stood back. And Cam Newton obviously felt dissed at the time. So what I didn't like was the guy that Benjamin was talking to, the player, Newton just looks at him. He's like, beat it. You're irrelevant in this discussion right now. Now it's between me and Benjamin, where you have Calvin Benjamin, who's prepping for a game. He's talking to somebody he likes, right? And over comes Cam Newton. Now, I have to imagine, I don't know, but it must have taken everything in both of their power to not just want to haul off and drill one another.
No, they were never going to do that.
I didn't say they were ever going to do that,
no,
Marty.
I don't think it took a lot. Like, Cam Newton didn't come in with the aggressive walk. Like, you come in and you put your chest out like baseball manager that comes out at the umpire, right? Like, you want to get engaged in that kind of physical nature? No, he had his hands behind his back.
He walked in with an extreme amount of arrogance.
Yeah, he had his hands behind
his back. Look at me. I'm Cam Newton.
He put his hands behind the back when he got blown off for a handshake.
You know what? Think about it this way. If we were in Carolina today, we're talking about, hey, good on Cam Newton to want to go and set the record straight face to face. He walked over to Benjamin and he basically wanted to engage.
Can we see the video again? Is it possible to see the video?
Sure.
Again? I don't know if they can show that again.
He's got swagger.
Look at the pants on.
Like, here, let's have a look at how close he gets to him. This is what I don't like. Give me space. Benjamin's like, what are you doing here?
He's trying to shake his hand. Benjamin is like, no. This was a guy that says, basically, listen,
let's
bury the hatchet.
How about the guy that has to walk away, like, from the conversation?
And I'm going to tell you this. Like, Calvin Benjamin did not back off from what he said the other day. He basically said, you're not my friend. I'm not going to, like, engage into this and try to sweep it under the rug. But it also, depending on the type of person you are, it may fuel you. Like, I think that this, what happened last week, the conversation with, I think it was Tim Graham at The Athletic, right, that wrote the article. So anyway, that conversation, it fuels Kelvin Benjamin. If he goes out there and just shakes Cam Newton's hand and just says, okay, dude, yeah, just an article, whatever, then he loses that fire. I think Kelvin Benjamin wants that fire, wants that fuel to get himself going.
Well, he sure performed last night like he was on fire.
Exactly, and I think so. There's different kinds of people. There are different kinds of personality. Cam Newton's personality, I think, was more of a relaxed one, come over, blah, blah, blah. You know, but Calvin Benjamin needs that fire and likes that fire. And I played with some guys that they were so much better in the controversy.
He's a beast, by the way.
They're both beasts.
Who would you take in a fight?
I don't know. I think
I got the Predator. I got Calvin Benjamin.
I've got Benjamin
all day
long. He seems he was trying to keep his cool.
I don't know if I take Benjamin.
Are you serious?
They're both big, but I don't know.
I think Benjamin's got some snarl in him, and you could tell by you got Cam Newton, AKA Big Dog there. Walks over with his hands behind his back like he's too cool for school. Then he gives a little wave off to a guy that. Kelvin Benjamin's talking to him. Did you see the guy from the Carolina Panthers turn around and walk away as soon as Cam Newton did that?
Yeah. How does that?
Because he is the big dog there. He is the guy in that organization, and he's got a lot of clout. And as soon as he gave a little wave, that guy, did you see him turn around and walk away? It's absolutely incredible.
It happens.
You know what? Kelvin Benjamin stood his ground there, and you know what? I mean, listen, there's not a lot of liking. You go through sports and you play with teammates, and there's just teammates that you don't get along with. In games, you're going to compete and you're going to do your best and you're going to do everything you can to win collectively as a team. But it's clear that Calvin Benjamin did not like Cam Newton.
Listen, there's players like that, and it's clear that they don't like each other, and that's the way sports goes. Listen, I've played with guys. And off the top of my head, I can remember, like, Brendan Dubinsky with the New York Rangers. Every time he played Pittsburgh, and you can see it now, even with Columbus, every time Brendan Dubinsky plays against Sidney Crosby, he gets in his face. He gets right after
it's
him.
It's different.
But what I'm saying is that
those guys have never played together.
They never played together. But
let me ask you this question.
I'm saying my point is that there's guys that play better when you throw a lot of fire, a lot of fuel on that fire to get yourself going. And for guys like I said, Dubinsky, every time he saw Crosby on the other side of the ice, or you know, news about to play Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins, yeah, he got himself going. And I think that's what Kelvin Benjamin did last week, and that's what he continued to do yesterday. He's yeah, like, I'm not taking the fuel out. I'm not shutting the propane off. I'm going to keep it going because that's what I want to be able to perform.
He doesn't
want
to give him the time of day because he can't stand the guy. You ever played with a guy that you can't stand?
Yes.
Yeah, I have. I don't want to say that I couldn't stand, but
the guy who walked away was Thomas Davis, a top veteran linebacker in the league. Yeah. Sorry.
So
just throwing that out. Someone just mentioned that. I have to.
A top veteran linebacker. And did you see that man turn around after Cam Newton gave him the shoe? He turned around and he was gone.
Like, what do you think he's saying? Like, whatever, Cam, your world?
No, he's saying, you know what? I mean, listen.
Let these two have their moment?
Yeah. Let them have their moment.
But wouldn't you want to be the guy that stands there and listens to
it? I don't think you want to. I don't think that you want to get in the bad books of a Cam Newton because he's the face of the franchise. You don't think that he has clout in that organization?
Well, of course he does.
Right? So it's like if you have Tom Brady who's sitting there having an altercation, not an altercation, but speaking with, you know, a player that he previously played with and gave the shoe to anybody on his team, they'd be turning around and walking away.
Are we making too much of this?
No, because this doesn't happen every day.
It's preseason. That's what happens.
This does not happen every day.
Exactly. There's nothing else to talk about. If it was,
I think this would be conversation regular season or anytime.
It would be, but I think that if the Bills lose week one, we're talking more about what happened to the defense. And, you know, this is about preseason. You talk about Peterman, AJ McCarron,
wouldn't be doing this in the regular season anyway, because he's going to be focused. 100% focused on his game.
It's totally different. Football and hockey is different. I think he would come over and settle the score in regular season.
Football is interesting to me in that regard. I mean, you know, both teams on the field at the same time warming up. You just chit chat with guys. I mean, granted, it's not like hockey where you can go out and punch each other's lights out. But it just, you wonder. That blows me away about football is that you've never really seen a serious altercation or escalation on the field or warm up or anything. I know the fines are big, but
they play 16
and then
games.
After the game they go after literally trying to pound each other into the field after the game. Helmet taps, they say a prayer. To me, it's amazing. It's amazing to me the mentality that goes
culture,
into the sport.
Right?
Yeah.
Like rugby is a tough sport, and
the toughest.
And every time the players run up to a referee to like either complain about something, they'll say, "Sir, did you see this, sir? He kicked me from behind, sir." Like they have that respect. They're like, "No, he didn't." "Okay, thank you, sir." And they walked away. Like there's a different culture in rugby. There's a different culture in football. Hockey is completely different. I've seen guys want to go at it in the hallway after game, an hour after the game, for something that may have happened the year before. You know, where, you know, you're about getting ready to go on the bus.
Remember
and then
when
there's
Mersey went after
Luke Richardson.
It's a
hallway.
Joke, Luke. You got to defend all these guys. It's a joke. You're a joke.
You just remember when Tortorella went through the door in Vancouver? And because the Vancouver Canucks locker room, if you go through the training rooms and you go out the back door, you end up in the same hallway as the visiting room in Vancouver. And John Tortorella got out to go after Brian McGrattan, I think, with the Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
And they all got caught in the hallway there.
Oh, no, like, no. McGrattan was holding him back from going through. He was trying to – I don't know who he was trying to get
at,
but you're right.
So it's in the hallway. Like, there's so
Lost
many
his job
ways.
After that, I think.
Yeah, not too long after. So, but hockey is completely different. I think if a situation where a player would say, you know, like I played on the line with Jack Eichel and Jack never passed me the puck. And when he passed it to me, it was in my feet and I kept getting hit. There was suicide passes after suicide passes. All Jack cared about was himself and this and that. The next game, they don't say hi or they don't try to talk in the warm-up. They get to the face-off and it's a cross-check across the forearms or in low in the back and it's a drop the mitts and let's go and we're going to fight it off. That is completely different than football. That is completely different than what we saw yesterday. Kelvin Benjamin is a wide receiver. Cam Newton's the quarterback. They're never going to be on the field at the same time.
Right.
Kelvin Benjamin's not going to ever going to be able to go and get his lick on to Cam Newton or vice versa. But in hockey, you do.
Yeah.
So that's completely different.
All I know is our mutant child, Benjamin, I thought he handled himself very well.
We are a hockey show. We are a hockey show. Craig Custance from The Athletic going to join us about the Stanley Cup blueprint. That's at 11:30. We're going to talk about John Vogel's article, also from The Athletic, just about how Jack Eichel's ready to help lead a new locker room or a locker room full of new faces. But let's talk a little bit about the game last night. I thought the quarterbacks performed. I just want to say this. I watched the whole game. Nate Peterman. That's my man.
It's preseason.
It's not about preseason, Marty.
It is preseason.
No, it's not about preseason, Marty. It's about being able to come back and perform after what he went through last year. Because it just seems like even the sideline guy asking the questions, the interviews after the game, questions before the game about Peterman, all about his first game where he had five picks. You know, no one remembers the snowball game where he was playing really well before he got hurt. But this is big for him, Marty. I mean, come on.
No, like, it's big. It's great. But like, again, like,
I'm just happy for the guy. I'm not saying he's the starting quarterback. I'm just happy that he came out, had a great performance. Because now he can build off that. Because
What about McCarron? Did he have a great performance?
No, he played pretty well.
But so they both had a great
All three of them played well.
All three of them played well. Riv, don't, you know, like, I get it. I'm not trying to single out any one over the other. I'm just saying that McCarron came here after playing games last year in the NFL. And this guy played four games, had a really brutal start. I was just happy to see him do well. Yeah. I was happy to see him connecting with his passes.
I'm happy to see
play really well. I mean, that's all I was saying. That's my only observation of the game last night.
Again, I'm going to take it back to hockey and my experience. If Sam Reinhardt goes out first exhibition game in preseason in September and scores two goals and an assist against, you know, like, the, you know, maybe he's playing against NHL competition.
Go ahead
but
and downplay it, Marty.
No, it's preseason. It's the first one.
I agree, Marty.
I am not, like, be able to make a good decision and to be able to make an educated decision and see who's going to be starting week one.
How do players?
It's all about practice. It's all about your own situation.
It's all about practice and preseason. Getting,
not so much
getting
a preseason
sharp.
Game,
yes,
but
because you're taking real reps, Marty. You're taking guys on the other side. They're going to rush you.
Yes.
They're going to do it. You're not playing against the A1 the players, but you get to understand that all these guys, the quarterbacks, they played very well. They were sharp. I know it's preseason, but this is what it takes to be able to build into having a great season.
It's hard. It's a hard position to be because if you play well, you're gonna have people like me saying it's first game of preseason. Settle down. Let's just see how the next 3 weeks go before we start calling Nathan Peterman, you know, the number one quarterback and the guy that's gonna do everything for the Bills. But if they don't do well, you completely throw them out to the trash, right? You put them on the side of the road and you say, hey, you didn't play well, you're garbage. So it's a tough position to be, especially for guys that are trying to make a name for themselves. And that's, you know, same thing. We're going to see the Sabres in training camp. And if
I
we have...
all Petey's saying right now is...
Yeah, I didn't...
Peterman looked really solid.
I wasn't saying Mr. Bean should go off from an extension by any means here, Marty.
The only guy with the Sabres that I think I'd be excited if he gets two goals and an assist in his first preseason game is Alex Nylander, because I took a lot of heat on Twitter for putting him in my top six last week. So he's the only one that I'm going to be looking at and really pumping his tires if that happens.
Listen.
Yeah, you're in a heap of trouble over there.
I like the trouble because I'm going to tell you right now, Alex Nylander, we keep forgetting about him when we talk about Bailey, Baptiste, Olofsson, all these guys, C.J. Smith, that are all going to be
knocking
fighting
at
for
the
those.
Door.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Nylander is an 8th overall draft pick. He's loaded with skills. He's got size. He's got strength. He's been 2 years in the minors. He's 20 years old now. He's bigger, stronger, and faster. Maybe, just maybe, he's going to be able to make a bigger stride this year. And you know what? If he comes to camp and does well, I'd like to see what the decisions that they have to make.
Well, that's a great hockey transition there, boys. So allow me to go ahead and we'll just spiral right into that. And we'll just talk about John Vogel's article that was written yesterday about Jack Eichel looking to take control of a locker room full of new faces. Loved the quotes. I know you guys read it. We all read it this morning. Loved the quotes. Good job by John Vogel on the article.
Yeah,
we also
have
Craig Custance from The Athletic going to join us at 11:30 to talk Stanley Cup blueprint. But what'd you take away from the article?
Maturity.
That was what I was thinking you were going to say. Yep.
Absolute maturity. And here's the thing. You know, Jack's going into his fourth year in the National Hockey League, and I just remember watching Jack, very youthful in the way that he played the game on the ice, but even more youthful off the ice, dealing with the media and stuff. It takes time for these young guys to mature in the National Hockey League, take bigger roles. Jack, last year, you can just see the way he dealt with adversity, talking to the media. He was much more mature, much more clear in what he was trying to say. The emotional part, I know Jack is obviously not happy with losing hockey games, but in the first couple years when he was youthful, you could see that pain in his voice and in his physical demeanor when he was talking to the media. I thought he really grew as a young man last year, and I would think that Jack is looking to even make bigger strides moving into this year. Just reading the article, the stuff that he says about his teammates that have been brought in, the new faces, the culture, this and that, I mean, that's exactly to a T what you would want your leader to be saying about his teammates.
I agree with everything that you're saying, Rivs, and I don't know if I took a sip out of the wrong cup this morning, because I feel like, not to be
Debbie
Downer.
You've been very argumentative for openers.
Yeah, one thing, and maybe more negative than I usually am.
It even started in the morning when Petey was playing his music.
I was singing.
And you were very angry.
But I couldn't get a massage. I couldn't get a massage this
morning.
You were
just angry that you didn't know how to sing Tom Petty and In Excess, and then all of a sudden he put on ABBA, and you ripped off all the tunes.
I wasn't paying attention. I was doing some work.
Go ahead, Marty.
Riv and I were jamming out to Petty, and then we throw on Karma Chameleon, and Marty's right in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. A little boy, George. Love it. Culture Club.
And Waterloo.
Waterloo. My biggest thing is that it's easy to say all of these things right now in the month of August. You know, it's easy to just go out and talk about, I'm looking forward to this year because there's a lot of different personnel. Things needed to change.
Dressing
room's going to have a new feel. And, you know, like the taking ownership, wanting to be that leader in the locker room.
You said, I need to influence the room in a positive way.
Absolutely.
And do the right things.
So it's easy to do that. I think that a lot of time, and you've played with many guys too that have that dual personality where they get the gear on and the helmet comes on, and then they may act one way a little bit because in the feeling the pressure or in the competitive battles and all of that. And then as soon as all that is shed off, you have a different perspective and different personality. If you want to impact the locker room in a positive manner, It's all over the ice. It's all over the game. It's on the bench. It's not just when you're sitting in your stall.
It's in the locker room. It's after the game.
So there's a lot there that Jack still needs to learn and still needs to do.
Yep.
So I'm going to give the runner a chance. And I still think that Jack, in my opinion, is the next captain of the Buffalo Sabres. He's going to be that leader. But reading that article in August is all rainbows and unicorns right now. I want to see what that looks like in October or November on a 2-3 game losing streak.
Listen,
how do you influence the locker room in a positive way when you haven't scored in 5 games or when you haven't scored in 6? All I'm saying. I like the article. I like what Jack is saying, but
you know how you impact the locker room if a player's struggling? Stay positive and keep working hard. Don't mope. Don't get down. Encourage all the other players that are succeeding, you know, like and just focus on the like the next day.
But you can mope and be negative a little bit.
No, not at the rink you can't.
Let me tell you this. Danny Briere was a great leader and he was a competitor and he wanted to go to battle every night. But there's so many mornings he was grumpy old Danny B. He was coming in and he was moping and he was on the ice and he was like breaking sticks because things weren't going well
and all that. Let me ask you a question.
But that happens.
Let me ask you one question, Marty. Yeah? And I 100% agree because I know Danny and I know the way he played and he was without question he was your best offensive player. He was the guy that had the pressure to produce. Who was the leader of that room?
At that time?
Yep.
Well, Drew was the leader. He was the different guy.
Now, was Drew ever coming to the rink, good or bad, losing 7-0, winning 7-0, his demeanor was the same thing coming
to
the rink. That's your leader.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Danny Briere was your best player.
They were both leaders in different ways, and I get that.
Listen, that experience was different.
Drew had his days.
He was, and that's normal. And I don't mean like
he was moping. And I wrote this down. There's a big difference between moping and angry.
There you go.
There's a big difference between a guy who's moping and a guy who's angry. Yeah.
I know Danny Briere wore a C and Drew wore a C, and you had your two connection with C wearing guys. There was one captain in the room, and that was
They led very differently. Yeah. I don't associate Danny with your best captain
that you played for. Saku Koivu?
Not even close.
Not even close. Okay.
He's one of the most storied captains in a big franchise. Montreal history.
Yeah.
Okay. And I wouldn't consider him. A captain.
You wouldn't?
No.
Why?
Because I consider him a guy that led by the way he played, the way he prepared on the ice.
Franchise type?
But he was the franchise guy.
Who was the guy in the locker room?
Myself and Sheldon Surrey.
Okay.
I was not a star.
But there's a great point.
Sheldon Surrey, when he came, was not a star. He worked himself into pretty star status. He played in all-star games.
But you guys had the clout to support
we
Saku
had,
as
we,
captain.
We, captain was our guy. Saku was our guy. He was our captain. And don't get me wrong. I'm like totally dropping a bomb on him here. He was a good captain. But we did it through committee. I was that guy that tried to help Saku make decisions on, you know, what you need to say to the media, because I wasn't the guy that was going to be in there. They were going to be all after him. Okay, you might want to do this, might want to do that. Be honest, be this. You know, like away from not just on the ice in the game, in between the rooms, Saku never spoke.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I was going to say about leaders. So many different
meanings to it. Like Alex Kovalev was one of our assistant captains in Montreal,
and he was on the tarmac taking off, going flying before half the guys leaving out of the ring.
You have this guy as wearing an A on our team.
Well,
but you know what? He was flying over the Bell Center.
He was doing one hand shot on the ice and teaching the guys.
You missed my joke. He got his pilot's license.
All I'm saying is, in Buffalo, Danny Briere and Drury were your captains, and when you describe Danny Briere, he had a lot of pressure on him because he was the guy that had to produce for your team to have success. So there's tremendous amount of pressure. It's a lot different than Drew, who had a different job on the team. He had the defensive responsibility. He still had offensive responsibility, but it was more put on Danny Briere. But his demeanor off the ice, good or bad, was very similar.
But
Danny Briere, when he had success, he was on a high. When he wasn't doing well and the team didn't do well, you could see and feel his emotion.
But I will say this. The game is not where it was in the 1980s or even the 90s, where one guy in the locker room, one captain, does it on the ice, does it in the room, does it everywhere. And I think that Jack has said all the right things in that article, and he's taking ownership, and he's showing maturity.
Yeah.
But the game is much more than one guy. Ryan Callahan was our captain with the Rangers, and Callie was a warrior, and he blocked shot, and he would have died for anybody in that locker room. But he didn't stand up in the locker room and, like, woo-wah-rah to the guys or whatnot. That was other players doing that.
Jack in this article said all the right things. Jack is going to come to camp. He's going to work hard. He's going to try and lead by example. He's going to be that. But the game of hockey in today, it's not just one guy who is your leader. You need a leadership core.
Yep.
And they're going to help Jack.
I got to do a better job leading right here, right now, because we're way late for break. So I got to intervene here, boys. I got to step up and say, you guys aren't helping me out here. I need a little more help. Do your jobs. I'll do mine. Instigators, Andrew, Craig. When we come back to the point, presented by Jim Stakeout, and I have a great Twitter poll out there. If there was fighting in football, who would you take? Cam Newton or Calvin Benjamin? Go tweet on that. I'm at beside Craig. He's at Craig Gervais 52, at Marty Biron 43. To the point coming up, Craig Custance from the Athletic at 11:30 to talk about Stanley Cup blueprint right here on the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Revay.
Welcome back. Great first segment there. Good conversation. I like that conversation about Jack and the captaincy and all that stuff and leading a locker room full of new faces. Talking about the article written by John Vogel of The Athletic. Also coming up at 11:30, another member of The Athletic, Craig Custance, will join us. We've been talking about Stanley Cup blueprint all week. He started with the Metropolitan Division, then moved on to the Atlantic. And so we've talked about that. So we'll have him on the show to discuss the Stanley Cup blueprint. But now, one of my favorite times of the week is the two times a week when Marty's in, when we get to do To the Point, presented by Jim's Stakeout. You know what that means.
To the point.
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 Craig Revay. All right, To the Point, presented by
Jim
Stakeout. Did you see
the video? Oh, my God, the video.
The video. Sidetrack. This is the ADD.
Yes.
This is my ADD.
Mine, too.
You know, it's the okay, anyway. So somebody, I can't remember the guy's name, sent a video to me on Twitter, and it was him in his car. And he's like, Petey, the traffic today is brutal, brutal, brutal.
And what did you tag it?
Paging
Dr. Craig Revay. That was awesome. So Rob Rowe is that guy's name.
Robbie.
Basically, he basically just said, add beside Craig, traffic is, and then there's the video, and he goes, brutal. But anyway,
brutal.
Sidetrack, sidebar.
Brutal.
That was awesome.
I got nothing.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go all to
right.
The point.
To the point, presented by Jim Stakeout. First topic, who wants to go first? If you forget what To the Point means, because Craig was away for so long, that means each member gets 30 seconds on the clock. Each participant gets 30 seconds on the clock to state
panelist?
Their case.
Panelist? Analyst?
Panelist, analyst, expert. There you go, Marty. Okay. So we'll save the expert for to go second here. So, Craig, you go first. Are Carlson, Stone, and Duchesne in Sens opening night lineup?
Buy it. I'm going to say yes. Carlson, Stone, and Duchesne will be in the opening night lineup for the Senators. I think that they are going to hold at least Carlson and Duchesne pretty much as long as they can throughout the season. But if the right deal comes up for any of those two guys, I think they'll be moved. I think they're going to want to keep Stone in the organization and get him signed after January.
Very well done with the time.
Excellent. Let's see if you can do the same, Marty.
Okay.
Are Carlson, Stone, and Duchesne
trade
Duchesne in Sens opening night lineup?
I'm going to trade this. No, I would think that Stone and Duchesne are guaranteed they're going to be in the lineup. Stone's got the new contract. Duchesne was the acquisition last season. As for Erik Karlsson, I think it's about 50-50 for me. I'm starting to lean more towards yes, where last year I was definitely a no. But there's still a chance that when we get to September, that Karlsson could either say, I'm not playing until you trade me, or that trade would happen.
That's not going to happen.
No, I'm just saying.
This is a big year for Erik Karlsson. He wants to come to camp in great shape. He wants to go there, be the true professional that he is in the game, and it's just due time before he's going to be traded from Ottawa.
But also,
he's
not just back. It's not just about the hockey side of it. and everything that's happened with the Mike Hoffman situation,
okay,
although
Mike
Hoffman
Hoffman's
is gone,
not there anymore.
I'm not saying that, but the Ottawa Senators had a responsibility to Erik Karlsson and to Mike Hoffman or to whatever. They knew what was going on, and they did not handle it well, and I'm saying it's not just about the ice. If Erik Karlsson decides he's holding out, he pulls an Alexei Yashin and says, I am not playing until you trade me, is that going to hurt Erik Karlsson? No. There is going to be 30 other teams
yes.
that are going to be saying,
yes,
we want you. You're as good as Drew Doughty. You're as good as Victor Hedman. Okay. And we're going to still do it. It won't hurt him. But
it
anyway,
will hurt him.
That's way past our 30 seconds.
It will hurt him.
But it's a good okay. discussion.
And I'm going to tell you this. He's going to show up there because there's $6.5 million and or reasons why he's going to show up there. And he's going to be a true professional and he's going to play. And at the end of that contract, at the end of that year, he's going to have the ability to sign any place he wants.
But again, you see that. Like, Alexei Yashin sat out a whole season. He's not worried about it. Michael Pekka sat out a whole season. He's not saying I missed out on it. You know, guys do it. It happens. It just, Jagr went to Russia for many years. He came back. He's much better for it. Karlsson is not going to look at the $6.5 million he'd make this year. He's looking at the $9 and $10 million he'll make for the next 6-7 years.
Or 11.
As the motivation behind what he does on opening night.
Sure.
All right, next topic, To the Point, presented by Jim Stakeout. We were just asking these two guys, gave them 30 seconds each. They each took a minute and a half. Are Karlsson, Stone, and Duchene in Sens' opening night lineup? The next topic is, and we had this conversation yesterday for a little bit, Marty, how should the NHL change restricted free agency?
Well, for me, I know the article and some of the agents have spoke about it. I would go the other way. I would go back to a little bit more how it was in the 90s. Instead of having guys be unrestricted free agent at 27, push it back to 30 the way it was. Give the team a little bit more leverage for second contracts. So maybe don't give restricted free agency arbitration rights until they're 25 years old. Instead of being 23 or 24, depending on how many seasons you've played. So I would push everything back towards more what it was in the 90s, as opposed to handing out the young players all this leverage and all this power.
Craig, what would you do? How should the NHL change restricted free agency? Not necessarily what would you do, but how should they change it?
I'd have a limit on how many teenagers you're allowed in your lineup. That's number one.
Are you serious? You just came up. I was just about to write that down.
Okay. I can't read your writing.
But that's not going to change free agency. That's just going to change the
roster. Not done yet, Marty.
It's not done yet.
It's my time.
Go.
First of all, I would limit the amount of teenagers you're allowed in your team to one. One kid. One special
Bravo.
Kid. Number two, I would move the restricted free agent period to, later, instead of 22 or 23, what it is, I would move it to 25.
Well, everybody's a restricted free agent when they're done. Their
arbitration,
first contract.
Arbitration. Yeah.
Move the arbitration up to 25. Move free agency out. And I know agents and players right now are going to say, oh, you guys are former players. You're just sour. And, you know, we make more money now as on second contracts.
No,
it's
I don't think
so
we're far
that.
Enough out of that generation yet to be saying that. You
no,
guys made and millions, and I was in a, played in an era when the league minimum was $500,000. So
yeah.
I
and it's not right about that.
I'll
it's
tell
about
you right now, I lost millions. So these guys right now can be in the situation that they're in right now.
24% rollback.
On 2 years of a deal, I lost a full year, millions. I lost millions and millions of dollars so these guys can benefit.
You
and I'm totally
millions.
Okay with that.
You just didn't make it.
Okay?
No, but I get what Rivs is saying. And what I'm trying to say also is that
the game.
What I'm suggesting.
The game
is,
needs to be tweaked a little bit.
Yeah, what I'm suggesting is it's not helping the younger players, but too much power and too much money is given to those guys. Now, I get that Jack Eichel will get the $10 million and that Connor McDavid will get the $11.5 million. Those are special players. But when you we just talked about Christian Dvorak at 23 years old signing a six-year deal for $4.5 million.
$4.5 million.
Okay? You're like, the guy's played 130 NHL game, 150
Two
games, and he's got 70
NHL.
Points.
2 seasons in the NHL, and he's signing for, what, $28 million?
That's too much. That second contract or even third contract, the 22 to 26-year-old guys are making too much money.
They should be capped. I think they need to cap second contracts, whether it's a 5-year contract or cap the amount of
money. I feel like I just lost my NHLPA.
Well, you'd have more. You know what you might? Oh, you might. But you know what? You might have more players, young players, taking bridge deals, 2-year deals, so they can earn that third contract sooner.
Nobody complained in 1989 or 1993. Where all the 30, 31, 32-year-olds were making the money. Why? Because they had played for 7, 8, 9 years, and yeah, they were getting rewarded then.
They were getting rewarded later in their career, and you had guys making 9, 10 million bucks at the age of 38 that literally couldn't produce anything at the end of their career.
But again,
I see that point.
Listen, you know, the old Stars over Kansas type thing. Remember that, Bob Goodenough? Stars over Kansas? You're going to have the Stars, all the top five players are going to get paid, and everybody else
Well, it's funny because at first when the CBA first came out, screw the young guys, you know, take the rookie bonuses away, the entry-level deals
now
and all that.
Now, completely reversed.
All those young guys are cashing in huge on the second contract.
Your first contract is very, very limited to what it used to be.
First overall pick back before the old CBA.
Alexander Degg got $1 million signing bonus as a first overall pick. Now they cannot get those. They're making it all back and some much more on their second and third contract.
I don't think there should be a contract signed over 5 years, too. If you want to pay a guy $14, $15 million, go ahead. I don't care what you do with your money. If that's what you feel, but only 5 years.
Yeah, but
not
again,
this 8-year. And
this is an ownership issue and a general manager issue, because now you put a cap on the length of contract, 7 and 8 years. And Bob Goodenough said that when we talked about a cap, and it's not just a salary cap, but it's a cap on everything, it acts as a magnet. Everybody wants to get to that.
Yep.
So now you limit the contracts to 7 and 8 years. Everybody wants to get to 7, 8 years. If we had no length of contract limits, you would rarely see 7, 8, or 9 year deal. Why? Because nobody would feel like they have to get there. It's like a beacon, and everybody wants to get to that. Same thing with the salary cap. It's like the Carolina Hurricanes are trying to get, we want to compete. Let's get to the cap. You don't need to get to the cap, but it's a beacon and everybody wants to get there.
Riv, do you want to talk about that goal celebration?
Are we done with To the Point?
We're not done. No, this is a topic and To the Point. We have one more to do. We have two options. What was the biggest impact from the Gretzky trade or what happened here? And that was the kid scoring the goal and then...
You answer the kids going to goal, I'll answer the Gretzky.
All right, we'll give you 30 seconds each.
I want to hear your input on this.
Let's talk about what happened here. So
what happened here?
So I don't even know the age of these kids, but all I know
they look like 12. 11,
I'd say, 12? Yeah, I'd say 11 or 12.
Okay, so 11 or 12. So kid walks in, lets a howitzer go, and
absolutely scores,
and then drills a kid in the back of the, I don't know if he hits him in the head or the, he looks like he hit him right in the back of the head. Right to the back of the head.
So this is excessive celebration. That's, you get kicked out of the game for doing anything like that. And plus the blindside hit and the head contact. And
now this kid would have been rated in the first round if we were back in the late 80s, early 90s. But nowadays.
So this is the interesting thing. So I watched this video last night and, I liked it. I pressed the old button for liking it.
The heart.
And
what did you say was an accident? You were scrolling through and your fat thumb caught the button.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I like this because it's actually hilarious. I do not condone this. You said, well, I can't wait to watch your 14-year-olds this year. You're gonna have kids punch. No, this is not acceptable in my game. I watched this video and I laughed at it because you don't see this, that a kid walks in, scores a beautiful goal, and then 2 seconds later, his goal celebration is punching a kid in the back of the head. It's not acceptable in the game. I liked it because it's funny, but I got roasted, absolutely roasted from people on Twitter because they were disgusted.
Somebody tweeted, Riv, the fact that you even like this. I can't remember what they said.
Yeah, he was throwing F-bombs at me and everything. And I just was like, listen,
tough
I mean,
at the office.
This guy back in the 90s would have been a first overall pick with how he just played the game there. But listen, I mean.
That was Eric Lindros in 1982.
Yeah,
right there.
Very.
Listen,
Lindros.
I mean, it's a funny video. I'm not condoning some kid punching a kid in the back of the head. Meanwhile, I'm gonna go a little bit further, and people may not like this. I think the kid got a punch in the back of the head.
Oh,
I think
my God! Don't even say that.
When you break down the video, here's the thing: video doesn't lie, Marty.
It's okay? A late slide.
The kid got hit and punched in the back of the head. But I'll tell you, he went flying 4 feet, and the punch only condoned maybe a fall down.
Yeah, let me tell you what the Gretzky trade impact was.
What was a Gretzky trade impact, Marty? Before we get to this or that next.
I'm not even going to indulge into this. It opened the way for Tampa to win a cup, for the LA Kings to win a cup, for the Anaheim Ducks to win a cup, for Arizona to be in the league, although I don't know how much longer it will be. And it was really the first time that media frantically chased a story, right? Wayne Gretzky may get traded, may not get traded. People went to LA. We're hearing now a lot of reporters and TV guys that are like 30 years ago. I was in the airport in LA waiting for that the confirmation to happen. I had a plane tickets coming back to Canada, or I was going to stay an extra day to make sure I caught Gretzky coming in. So it was probably the first time in hockey that something this big was going to go down, and everybody was on board. And it kind of, you know, now with Twitter and Instagram.
So what was
whatever,
the biggest impact?
I'll tell you exactly what the biggest impact. Everybody on the Oilers, every player on the Oilers were able to prove and make and stake their own claim when they won the cup without Gretzky in 1990.
Was that the next year?
No, it was the year after. Gretzky was traded 88, 89.
That was the Calgary Flames.
Wasn't Steve Smith, was it, off the heel?
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
No, 86 was Steve Smith. Yeah. 89 was the Calgary Flames beat the Montreal Canadiens. That was Lenny McDonald.
That's right.
Know, Mike Vernon and Nat and all
right.
of that. So.
That's right.
It may have been 80. And anyway. Because the Edmonton Oilers won 84, 85, 87, 88, and then 90. That was their five.
Sorry, I went way too long here. This or that coming up here. A couple other things we're going to talk about in the next segment. But at 11, we're going to talk Stanley Cup Blueprint, because at 11:30, we have Craig Custance from The Athletic joining us, and he writes about the Stanley Cup Blueprint. So we'll talk more about that at 11. But coming up next, we're going to have a nice little fun little discussion here about music. WGR 550 and MSG, The Instigators. Told you we'd be talking music, some of the greatest music known to man right here. Sega Hockey. All right, so we're going to do Sabres by the Sweater, and then after the update, we'll do Dis or Dat, talk about Stanley Cup Blueprint, and then Craig Custance coming up at 11:30 right here on the Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG. So Sabres by the Sweater number, anybody? Bueller? Ring a bell?
Well, he said Mike Greer.
Great choice.
Okay.
What did he say?
I said Mike Greer.
I'm pretty sure he said Mike Greer.
And I said
Dave Vaynerchuk.
There we go.
Dave Vaynerchuk. It's not even close, but I just think that there's a honorable mention. Maybe second place would be Mike Greer. Honorable mention?
I don't like where this is going
tag,
today, guys.
Tag Thompson.
Wow. It's not too often you see Rivs run over in the tracks.
This is Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin.
Kelvin Benjamin and Cam Newton here. You guys all right?
Dave Vaynerchuk, if had not played that final season with the Sabres where he wore number 52,
that number's reserved for somebody else on this day.
Would have been a point a game in his career with the Buffalo Sabres. I was just looking at his stats.
And you know that's Hudson Fashing, right?
What, 52? Absolutely. The fact that Andy scored, listen, with the Buffalo Sabres, he scored 38, 31, 36, 25, 30, 28 in only 56 games, 40, 36, 41. I mean, that's just, to me, that's unreal. That the contribution and the amount of goals he scored. And the distance as to which he scored goals from was 5 to 15 feet from the net.
Let's go through the names of the players that wore the great number 25. I wore it in New Jersey. Hap Myers, Craig Ramsey, Terry Martin, the old T. Martin, love T. Martin.
Yep.
Bob Mongrain, Mal Davis, Geer Gillis, Dave Vaynerchuk, Rob Kahn, Vaclav Virata, Mike Greer, Mark Mancari, Mikhail Gregorenko, and friend of the show, Carlo Koliakovo.
Yeah.
Wore it. Mark Mancari.
Not a whole lot of 25s, eh?
No, there was, I would say, Vaynerchuk, Greer, Virata would be like the most memorable to wear that
number?
Well,
nobody wore it for 3 years after Andy left. He was here from 84 to 93, and then Rob Kahn wore it
for probably a couple games.
God, I hated playing against Virata.
Oh, let's go see
He was
him.
Like a bus.
Was he a big man?
He was a thick. He wasn't tall.
No, like 5'11"?
Yeah, but he was thick.
Really,
his
really
neck was
solid,
as big
yeah.
as his head. Well, I have a Dave Andrechuk stick at my house. He signed it after playing with him his last year with the Buffalo Sabres. And the thing is heavy, and it's long, and it's hard, like stiff. And he just, I mean, the guy
I heard
scored
a story about Andrew
600
Chuck.
Goals with that type of stick is amazing.
I heard he carried a stick around in the stick bag from years and years. Like, I don't know if it was back from when he played in junior. He always wanted his stick cut to the one height, and that was his measuring stick. He had a stick that he loved. He had the trainers bring it on the road so that he could cut his stick exactly to the height that he wanted. So there was never a guesstimate of where it was.
Yeah, no, it's impressive what he was able to do, and impressive how he did it with the Buffalo Sabres at a time where there was a lot of other great players. He just went along, did his business, and scored 35, 40 goals a year.
And I'm going to do my business right now, and I'm going to get us out for break on time here. And when we come back, I'm going to do the sports update, and we'll do Dis or Dat. Marty's got some great ones in there today.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk Stanley Cup blueprint. Do the Sabres have it? Because at 11:30, the man who writes about the blueprint himself from The Athletic, Mr. Craig Custance, is going to join us right here on the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Stick around.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.